When we passed the last point of the jetty and the last black rock, I could feel a great calmness creep over me, a calmness that increased the farther we left land behind us. The guys had talked excitedly for a few minutes about our piracy of the boat, but now they were quiet. The cabin door opened once long enough for a hand to shove out a case of beer, and Billy opened us each one with the opener he found in the tackle box and passed them around. We drank and watched the land sinking in our wake. A mile or so out, George cut the speed to what he called a trolling idle, put four guys to the four poles in the back of the boat, and the rest of us sprawled in the sun on top of the cabin or up on the bow and took off our shirts and watched the guys trying to rig their poles. Harding said the rule was a guy got to hold the pole till he got one strike, then he had to change off with a man who hadn't had a chance. George stood at the wheel, squinting out through the salt-caked windshield, and hollered instructions back how to fix up the reels and lines and how to tie a herring into the herring harness and how far back to fish and how deep. "And take that number four pole and you put your 12 ounces on him on a rope with a breakaway rig. I show you how in just a minute. And we go after that big fella down on the bottom with that pole, by golly." Martini ran to the edge and leaned over the side and stared down into the water in the direction of his line. Oh, my God, he said, but whatever he saw was too deep down for the rest of us. There were other sports boats trolling up and down the coast, but George didn't make any attempt to join them. He kept pushing steadily straight on out past them toward the open sea. You bet, he said. We go out with the commercial boats where the real fish is. The swell slid by, deep emerald on one side, chrome on the other. The only noise was the engine sputtering and humming, off and on, as the swells dipped the exhaust in and out of the water, and the funny lost cry of the raggedy little black birds swimming around asking one another directions. Everything else was quiet. Some of the guys slept and the others watched the water. We'd been trolling close to an hour when the tip of Seafelt's pole arched and dived into the water.
George! Jesus, George, give us a hand!
George wouldn't have a thing to do with the pole. He grinned and told Seafelt to ease up on the star drag, keep the tip pointed up, up, and work hell out of that fella.
But what if I have a seizure? Seafelt hollered.
Why, we'll simply put hook and line on you and use you for a lure, Harding said. Now work that fella, as the captain ordered, and quit worrying about a seizure.
30 yards back of the boat, the fish broke into the sun in a shower of silver scales, and Seafelt's eyes popped, and he got so excited watching the fish, he let the end of his pole go down, and the line snapped into the boat like a rubber band.
Up, I told you! You let him get a straight pull, don't you see? Keep that tip up, up! You had one big silver there, by golly!